Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the right insurance where they're completely covered and also the best price. Simple as that. That's the kind of customer service you want. Auto, home, light, business, whatever it may be. And if there's ever a claim, you want to talk about great customer service, they go to work for you, and they will make sure they are your greatest advocate. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is Wednesday. It will take place at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. It will benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And the it's sold out. We'll be at Penn's Tavern tomorrow night for the show. Penn's Tavern tomorrow night for the show, 3 to 5. So come on out, join us. We're going to have a great cast there. Looks like Keith Conlon's going to be there, Shane Conlon. Trey Bauer, among others. We're going to have a great time. Suit. Just trying to bring in local celebrities there, Matt. You know? He tells me he's a big deal, so I figured I'd try it, see how the crowd reacted. Still waiting for the reaction. All right, Dick Girardi. In just a few moments on the Derby, Lafitte Pinkai final half hour on the Derby. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. Scott Fransky on the Phillies Radio Network as heard on WKOK.
And the pitch. Swung on and ripped down the left field line. It is a fair ball right along the chalk line. Segura will score. The ball rolling in the corner. Harper coming around third. They're waving him home. Here's the relay. It's cut off. A two-run double for Rhys Hoskins. And the Phillies pouring it on. A five-run bottom of the sixth. They lead it 7-1.
Yeah, and that was on the Phillies Radio Network and WKOK. All right, so let's get to the Kentucky Derby. Dick Girardi has covered 37 of them, but DJ, never won quite like this one. Welcome.
No kidding, Steve. Yeah, that was, it's like I was just emailing a friend of mine saying, just when you think you've seen everything, you find out you haven't seen everything. Yeah, that was nuts. As it happened, I saw the incident on the turn live as I was watching it.
Yes. Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know exactly what had happened, obviously, until they showed a number of replays. And the stewards have a lot of discretion in that. They could have made a lot of choices on how to handle it. I think they chose the worst possible one out of all of their choices. They could have said, you know what, yeah, there might have been a foul there, but the horses that were impacted weren't going to be anywhere anyway. I mean, War of Will, the one, be a dead aim on the winner. Maximum Security for 400 yards couldn't go by him and faded to eighth.
Yep.
I don't think his finish was really impacted much. Maybe he could have finished sixth. Where they put Maximum Security was 17th. Long Range Toddy was already starting to fade at that point. Did he have a problem? Yeah, he had a problem, but he's already starting to fade out of it. So they put him behind Long Range Toddy. What they could have done is said, you know what? Yeah, there might have been a foul there, but it really wasn't going to change anything. So what happens is the Derby winner is a horse who was a clear second, was undeserving of winning, goes to the winner's circle, and the horse that ran the best race and the best race of all is officially 17. There's got to be a better one, and there are, but they chose not to do it.
Normally, one of my standards on a horse race where it's lousy weather is, if I look at the goggles of the jockey and they're completely clear, I feel like that's probably the jockey that was on the best horse.
Yeah, there's that. And there's the fact that there's 19 horses in the race. And look, if Churchill Downs is going to insist on having more than 14 and a second starting gate, they can't judge this race like they would judge another race, because it's not like another race. We don't have 19 or 20 horses in any race all year except the biggest race we had. So why don't we just have 13 players on the field in the Super Bowl, Steve?
Right.
Or 12 in the World Series. I mean, you know, it's stupid. So you have to expect that. And additionally, I wrote about this a little bit Saturday night, but it took them 20 minutes to make a decision. And what does that tell you?
Right.
They don't know.
That's exactly right.
I felt like it's been that kind of a year. I felt like I was at Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Or maybe Chicago, yep. Or maybe at the Jordan Center for the end of the Purdue game. It was like, in fact, Coach Chambers texted me and said, what did you think of the call? I said, I felt like I was watching Big Ten refs at a Penn State game this year. It was just having some fun, but it was just bizarre. But, yeah, if it takes you that long, the same standard should be used for replay in any other sport. If you're not 100% certain, no change. And if they make no change, the controversy would have lasted for 10 minutes. This is going to last forever.
Right. In fact, you and I have talked about this many times. If you look at the replay, and I'm talking about just basketball, football, and you can't tell in 30 to 45 seconds, move on.
Yep. Forget it. Yeah, that's it. It's over. And look, this is a little trickier because, you know, one of the things with the way horse racing works, and I've always thought this was a mistake, they ultimately decide, all right, that this horse, Maximum Security, fouled long-range Toddy around the far turn.
Right.
But therefore, you have to put him behind long-range Toddy. Well, no, that's stupid.
Right.
Use some discretion. You know long-range Toddy wasn't going to be in the top five under any circumstance, which is where the money is. In Europe,
This is nothing.
That's right. Everywhere in the world except North America, that's the United States and Canada, the only way a winner of a horse race gets taken down is if they decided he fouled the second horse, and the second horse would have beaten him if there was no foul. And that's a way better standard, because now you're putting the poor stewards, and I don't even blame them, you're putting them in a position where they have to figure out what would have happened. Well, none of us are that smart.
Right.
Nobody knows what would have happened, especially dealing with animals in a mud. There's 19 of them.
Right.
It's crazy. And ultimately, common sense. You watch the race, you say, you know what? The best horse won.
Right.
He didn't win because he cheated. He won because he ran faster.
Right.
And therefore, he should have just stayed up. That should be the Derby winner. Very unfortunate. Jason Service, I mean, I know Jason.
Yes.
I know his brother. Would have been, John, of course, trained Smarty Jones. Would have been the first brother combination in history to train Derby winners. That lasted for about 20 minutes. You feel terrible for the owners. I don't even feel that great for Bill Mott, who I know and like, too.
Yeah.
Who won his first Derby. He didn't want to win like that. I mean, that's not... Nobody wants to win that way. That's not winning. That's just sort of falling into it.
Yeah. I want to get to Jason Service in a moment. But is it, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, I think it was Country House that actually did file the objection. The two horses that were allegedly cut off did not. Is that correct?
That's sort of correct, but it's not your fault that you don't know all of it, because the communication was so bad. You know, I wasn't in Louisville, so I was watching NBC like everybody else, and I felt bad for Mike Tirico, Jerry Bailey,
yes.
Randy Moss, because they had incomplete information to deal with. All they were told was that the second horse claimed foul against the winner, and you looked at the replay once and you say, well, that's nothing.
Right.
You know, that was just obvious. But what happened there was Bill Mott, the trainer, realized there was some kind of an incident. In fact, he was told by his other jockey, Jose Ortiz, who rode Tacitus, which is Mott's second horse.
Right.
He said, I was right behind this. There was a mess going on in that, and the winner was involved. Why don't you just go ahead and claim foul, take a shot? So he told Pratt on number 20, on his horse, Country House, take a shot, see what happens. They didn't even really know what happened at that point. So he claims foul, but unbeknownst to everybody in the TV audience and everybody at the track, John Court, the jockey on number 18, long-range Toddy, also claimed foul.
Okay.
Well, the stewards didn't bother to tell anybody. They didn't tell the announcer, Travis Stone, at the track. They didn't tell NBC. So nobody, they're going with the wrong information. Nobody knows that. And then ultimately, they decided that he fouled both the 1 and the 18. And by rule, if you're going to disqualify him, it's a ridiculous rule, you have to put him behind the horse that finished the farthest behind. The 18 finished 17th, so therefore they put the winner 17th. But yes, Court, he did claim foul. But interestingly, the jockey, Tyler Gaffigliano, on the 1, Warwick Will, who finished 8th, they didn't claim foul. And it's kind of an unwritten rule. When you're out of it as a jockey, you don't claim foul. You don't want to call attention to something because
it's
going to be you sometimes. You're going to win, and you're not going to want one of your fellow guys. So John Court kind of broke the unwritten rule. When you finish 17th, you know what? You're muddy. You're dirty. Just go take a shower, go.
Right. All right, I want to get to Jason Service now. And this is a bad hypothetical, but I'm still going to bring it up anyway. If this is Bob Baffert or somebody like Todd Pletcher and maybe not Jason Service, can we speculate that they come up with a different result?
I don't think you have to speculate. No. No DQ. Baffert winning his 6th Kentucky Derby, no chance. I think because Jason is a New Jersey guy, he's not super well known. I think this is only the second time he's ever been in the Derby. I believe he was in it last year.
Right.
And Luis Saez, who's not Mike Smith. Do I think that that's a factor? Yes. Should it be? Of course not. And it's just really, really unfortunate. Certainly the West, the owners, they're pretty prominent players of the business. They also had Game Winner in the race who ran phenomenal. Nobody probably even noticed it because he got slaughtered out of the break and then came like 100 wide on the far turn. You wonder, right? Well, it's one of those you can't ever know, but it's a factor. I think a factor, Steve, is what just happened at Santa Anita. Everybody's really concerned about safety.
Yes.
That's fine. We all are. Of course we are.
Of course.
But it wasn't Luis Saez's fault. The horse probably heard the roar of the crowd. They hadn't seen any crowd now, keep in mind, for almost since the first time through the stretch.
Right.
So they've been the whole back stretch, the first turn, the far turn, and now all of a sudden they're coming into what the jockeys call the wall of sound when they come into the grandstand the second time.
Right.
And that horse, I suspect, got startled by the sound or maybe that little path that NBC was showing where it was wet. He kind of jumped over the path and went out a couple of lanes. It wasn't the jockey's fault. They're animals. I mean, if they want to go somewhere, you're not going to be able to tell them not to.
That's right.
They're going. But certainly nothing intentional. And again, as the way I looked at it, all of the horses who were fouled in quotation marks, whatever you think of it or not, the all then had, it certainly in War of Will's chance, had every opportunity to win the race. I mean, remember Fleet Alex in the 05 Preakness?
Yep.
That was 1,000 times worse than
yes.
that.
Yep.
But what happened? He got up and won the damn race.
Yep.
So, you know what? Deal with it. It's like... horses do get bumped. They do get, especially in this race. And he had an opportunity if he was good enough to win. He wasn't good enough. And the other horse, Long Range Toddy, in my opinion, in watching it, I do, like I said this before, I think he was already starting to head backwards. At
right.
That point.
And by the way, just for a local reference for everybody, Affiliate Alex had Belfont's Jeremy Rose aboard. And then also won the Belmont Stakes after that. A rare Damascus Preakness Belmont.
Yeah, and one of the more amazing athletic feats by horse and rider.
Yes.
To stand up because Affiliate Alex's head nearly hit the dirt at Pimlico and Jay Rose. And I was with him that night. I'll never forget it. That's one of the legendary moments in Triple Crown history for sure.
All right, so now... Dick, no offense, Country House never came up in our conversation, ever.
No.
I mean, okay.
That's why he was 65 to 1.
Okay. Who is this horse?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. It was his second lifetime win, and as Bill Mott was on the track after the race, people were saying, hey, you know, your horses ran good. He ran second and fourth. His Wood Memorial winner, Tacitus, ran fourth. And he said, yeah, this is cool. We'll take them both to the Belmont. Right, we're not running in Preakness. It's only in 2 weeks. We're not going there. and this horse has run like six times in the last 10 weeks, or what I'm exaggerating, but he's run a lot lately, Country House. So Mott says he's out of it. Well, then a few minutes later, they, hey, by the way, Bill, you're the Derby winner. And he goes, well, I guess that means I got to run in the Preakness.
We're going.
So, right, and he doesn't want to run, clearly, because he doesn't want to run his horse back in 2 weeks. It's another reason why they could move the Preakness to Memorial Day, but that's a whole other story. Mm-hmm. So here's a trainer of the Derby winner who has no interest in being at the Preakness. He trained his horse to try to run in the Derby and then bring him back at the Belmont. So the answer to your question is he's the horse who is now officially 2-for-7. He just won a $3 million race. His only other win was in mid-January in a maiden race at Gulfstream. And by the way, where he was ridden by none other than Louis Saez of all people. Of course, we're at maximum security for those people who are not aware of this fact. And Flavian Pratt ends up riding him. He was the regular rider for Omaha Beach.
Right.
And he took off him and then tried to get back on him. And they said, no, we got Smith. And then, of course, he was the favorite. He got scratched. He ends up on this horse. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So a Country House, the only thing I can tell you is everybody who knows anything about this game will be betting with all both fists that Country House will not win the Preakness. That much I can get. I don't even think that the trainer wants to be there. That's one horse you could eliminate. Eliminate the Derby winner.
In fact, my first thought was that horse wouldn't even finish in the money. But that was,
No, he might not. That's how I'll bet.
Yeah.
I thought the horses of the also-rans, I thought the horses that ran the best were Game Winner.
He was
unbelievable. And I think Fapper brings him back in the Preakness. I think, although Gary and Mary West, that they own him too. They might be so disgusted they won't run anybody anywhere.
Right.
That I don't know. But Fapper's got such a great record with even horses that don't win the Derby coming back and running great in the Preakness. And the other horse that ran unbelievable in this race, and I have no idea how it happened, and I can't even find his name. I'm looking through it. Master Fence, the Japanese
horse.
See, the last quarter mile, he was running like Michael Johnson. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like, what is... He was last at the top of the stretch.
Yep.
I just watched the replay for like the 800th time because I'm watching every horse. I'm going to time him in a second. He was flying, and they're going on to the Preakness with the Japanese bred Master Fencer. So keep him in mind, too, for the Preakness. I'm not a big fan of closers, but, man, this horse looked like the race just started at the quarter pole. I mean, let him loose. It was wild. And he was like 100 legs last on the backstretch. He was barely on the TV picture. You could barely see him.
It's like Pegasus.
It's like, whoa, here I'm coming. Wow. It was crazy.
It's like Pegasus in the movie View to a Kill, the Bond movie. Boom.
That's it. That's the one. National Velvet with Liz Taylor rolling from behind.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it'll be a much shorter field. It'll be like 10.
Yeah.
Where you won't have, and hopefully there will be no rain. We can only hope for fog.
Right.
And we can have a more truly run race. The shame of it is, look, Maximum Security's not going, and I get it. Jason Service has won, I think, 530 races in the last 5 years.
Yep.
Five of them have been with horses that have run in 2 weeks or less. He just doesn't do it.
Right.
So they will obviously, if he'd have been the winner, he'd come back in the Preakness.
Right.
I think he would kill this field in the Preakness. I think he'd annihilate it. He had to run the whole way. On fast fractions early, Steve, you do not see horses do what he did the last quarter mile. He looked like he was going to get swallowed.
Yes.
Instead, he re-breaks, outruns them, has the most speed and the most stamina. It's one of the great Derby performances I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
In fact, that's exactly what I said to the people I was sitting with. I said, you don't see a horse do that where all of a sudden it looks like it's like this is going to be the end, and all of a sudden hits the accelerator again.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've watched enough races where I know when they're dying.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen. And I said to myself, well, nice while it lasted. He's not going to get there. And then all of a sudden, Science starts pushing again at the quarter pole, and I said, man, this horse is going to win. And I'm looking around for my exactas, and I didn't have any 20s.
Right.
Everybody said, well, you wrote you were mad he was DQ because it cost you money. It cost me
nothing.
No 720s.
Right.
I didn't have any of that.
Exactly. Exactly. There's one last question that's about Jason Service. He has worked most of his career claiming races, things like that.
Yep.
In the last few years, he's been able to get a little more profile, get a little bit, you know, more, better horse and so forth.
Yep.
What makes him a really good trainer, and why isn't he considered to be among, quote, the elite class?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't won a Breeders' Cup yet. He won a Derby, and then he didn't. He won one for 20 minutes. And he's never, as you pointed out, had the type of owners to get him the kind of horses that can win these kind of races. Well, now he does. Because he's been so successful, he got Gary and Mary West, who have been major players in the game for a long time. He's got Michael Dubb in New York, who's one of the big-time owners in New York. And Jason trains, his main base is Monmouth Park in North Jersey, where the horse is going to be starting tomorrow. What makes him so good, Steve, is he is unorthodox. He's very much against the grain. He does things that aren't done when you train horses. Like this horse, people were laughing when he was working out down in Florida. Like, he was going so slowly. It's like, that's not how it's done. His gallops were more like jogs, and it was very much against how modern horse race trainers do it. But he was trying to build up incredible stamina as horse because he knew what he had. He had the speed. That was never an issue. Then the day of the race.
Yeah. He did a workout.
Worked him out a quarter mile.
Yeah.
That's how the old guys used to do it.
Yep.
They'd say, all right, now we're going to put some speed into him. You know what? When he did that, I said, oh, my God, he's going to win, because I knew he had the stamina. And I'd already picked him, but that made me even happier. I said, Jason understands. They're going to send him to the front, dare somebody to run with him. He'll run those horses off their feet, and then he'll open up, and he'll win. The only thing that I would have said to Louis Saez, the mistake that he made, and I know the horse veered out. I don't think that was him.
Yeah.
I thought he should have opened up on the turn, get three or four legs.
Yeah,
because he kept the field in it, because he slowed the race down so much, that's why we had the traffic. Typically, that's not how you win with a speed horse, bring the whole field into the race and then run away. But he obviously had so much confidence in that horse that he didn't really care what he did. He was just so certain he was going to win. And at that point, he was right. But if he'd opened up three, he'd be the Derby winner today. He wouldn't have gotten DQ'd.
Well, end of next week, we'll talk about Country House's chances at the Preakness.
Okay. I already told you what his chances are. Zero. And you can, by the way, Friday, you can go online and get the Express Bet Preakness wagering guide online. I got to come up with my pick here in 2 days for a field. I have no idea who's going to be in it. It'll be great. But we can adjust as we go. But, yeah, you can go online, get on expressbet.com. And open up an account, and do not, under any circumstances, when you have your Preakness money, bet any of it on Country House, the quotation mark Derby winner.
The alleged Derby winner. All right.
Exactly.
Thanks, Dick.
You guys, Steve. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week. See you, buddy.
Lafitte Tenkai, next half hour, will get his take on the Derby and Maximum Security. The same words that we use just outside the Shikellamy broadcast booth. They need maximum security.
Oh, man. First time I've heard that one before.
Look, this is the first time you've heard a lot of things on this show.
This is true.
Lafitte Pinkai next half hour. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth.
The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be joined by Lafitte Pinkai. One thing that cannot be disputed about Saturday was that NBC's coverage of everything was brilliant. I mean, the 22 minutes could not have been handled better by any network. Lafitte, you were part of that. We congratulate you for that. Appreciate your time
very
much.
Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks so much. Right. One thing that can't be disputed is that my shoes are trashed and in a trash can back in Louisville.
No question about that. That was awful. All right. When you watched it live as it happened, did it immediately raise your horse racing antenna? And then how it played out?
Not really. Not originally while watching it. I could tell that he floated out a little bit, the winner, in maximum security. And you could tell there was a little bit of contact in behind him, and that Long Range Toddy had taken up and War of Will, and that Country House was closing in on the outside. And what you noticed was that when he came off the rail, my eyes immediately went to Code of Honor and John Velasquez, who brilliantly moved in towards that opening on the rail, tried to sneak through. So that's what I was watching. I guess that to a certain extent, subconsciously, you're so used to seeing some bumping and jostling in the Kentucky Derby. No, in the moment, I didn't think, okay, even though maximum security just crossed the wire in front, they're going to have to survive an inquiry or an objection.
Okay, so now how it played out. I mean, it took them 22 minutes. The race, the maximum security ran the race in 2:03. The inquiry took 22 minutes. Okay. I know they're in a really tough spot. Yeah. How much, as someone who loves the sport the way you do, know it the way you do, appreciate the tough spot they were in as stewards?
It's easier for the stewards when it's in... You'd love for it to be a decisive, you take one look at it, and you're saying, okay, this there's nothing to that. Nothing went wrong there. Maybe there's... We've seen it. I remember it was 2015, and American Pharoah is running by Firing Line and Gary Stevens, and Gary Stevens tried to kind of maneuver Firing Line in the direction of American Pharoah to maybe kind of, you know, Vlade Divac, you know, flop and draw a foul. And he's a Hall of Famer. He's cagey. Why not try it? He did.
Right.
And there was an objection. And Gary Stevens, a good friend of mine, he'll be the first one to tell you, yeah, I was trying to draw a foul. And there was an objection, and they looked at it. And for everyone in the house, you took one glance, and it's like, all right, moving right along, nothing to see here. This time, the longer we looked at it, and from different angles, especially when you see that head-on angle, you can see there's more to this, that War of Will was turned sideways. Now you see the images on social media turned sideways. How fortunate we are that he's athletic as he is, that he was able to stay on his feet. Otherwise, if he goes down, it can cause a chain reaction, and God knows how many horses go down behind him. So that's the most important factor in all of this. But for the stewards, I had this conversation with Barbara Borden back at the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs. I said there's this narrative in racing that suggests the longer there's an inquiry, the longer there's an objection, the more likely there's going to be a disqualification. I said, is that true? And she said, no. She says, we're just being thorough. And I can appreciate that. And just the same, the following day in the Breeders' Cup, there was a long, like a 10, 12-minute objection or inquiry. I can't remember which. And that one was disallowed. So they're just being thorough. They want to get it right. I think they did make the right call. I do. I would have loved to have heard more of a Q&A with the stewards after the fact. But aside from that, you know, they showed that they were going to treat the Kentucky Derby the same way they would treat the fourth race on a Thursday, you know, the way it should be.
Look, I think if anybody goes to the track often enough, I don't care whether it's Churchill Downs, Parks, whatever it may be, you're going to see this a few times during the course of the week. This is not actually unusual what happened. It's something that happens at the track, maybe not every day, but almost every day.
It happens. There's going to be contact from the horses. There's going to be bumping. There's going to be jostling. And I think that the hardest thing for the stewards is that you don't want to punish the betting public, because the best horse did win. Maximum
right.
Security was the best horse. Country House really wasn't bothered all that much. I don't think anybody left the racetrack saying, well, Country House, he wins by disqualification, but he should have because he was the best horse on the track. Yeah, I don't think he was. I think Bill Mott would tell you that. I think Flavian Pratt would probably at this point tell you that. But you don't want to punish the public, yet how do you – there's rules. And if you break them, well, then there needs to be a penalty. And that's the way it works in horse racing. You get disqualified. And I'm not saying that Luis Saez tried to do anything sinister out there. You know, apparently Maximum Security may have shied from the crowd. You know, you had a wet racetrack, so the glare from the lights, he may have shied from that and spooked a little bit. And he came out a little bit too far and caused all that bumping in behind him. War of Will took the worst of it. But, yeah, I think they handled it the right way, but that doesn't mean that everybody goes home satisfied, right, which is why you're seeing, you know, so much being made about it now, still 48 hours after the fact. And it'll continue.
My point earlier was it's an animal. Okay. Try to predict what the animal's going to do. This has been not the Justify was the high one of the high water marks, along with American Pharoah of horse racing. We know between the drug issues, the Santa Anita issues, there's been more of a cloud over the sport just in the last 6 months. What does this do?
I don't think one has anything to do with the other. I think it sends a message that rules are going to be followed, or there's going to be a price to pay, and that the stewards in this case, as I said, there's not any leeway because it's the Kentucky Derby. We're not going to treat it any differently. And I think if you're following the letter of the law, then the right call was made. I think that's a good thing. I think that somebody who's watching the sport from a distance can clearly understand this is being policed, whether you're talking about medication, whether you're talking about
right.
something that you could somehow tie this into, going back to the misfortune of what took place this past winter at Santa Anita. But yeah, there are rules. It's not the Wild West. It's not, you know, 20 horses out there and the last one standing crosses the wire. Well, there's your winner for the Kentucky Derby. That's not the way it works. And we saw an example of just that on Saturday.
Okay, so I know in leading up to the Derby, I can tell you in no uncertain terms that the winner's name never once came up in any of the interviews I did. So what do we know about the winner? I mean, Bill Mott, we know about him as a trainer, but what do we know about the winner? He's, what, 2-for-7 now, right?
Yeah, but so seeing him on the track, you remember watching Shaquille O'Neal play basketball, and the first thing you noticed from him at LSU was how massive he was and how nimble right. he was, how light he was on his feet. And Country House had some of that. He's this big, lumbering-looking racehorse. And yet, when I saw him on the track at Churchill Downs, just light on his feet, more athletic, more agile than you would think. He's been, he's a big, powerful, robust horse who strikes me as a horse who's going to get better with more racing. I loved that they raced him. Remember, he raced in the Louisiana Derby 6 weeks ago, needed right. more points to get into the Kentucky Derby, so Mott ran him in the Arkansas Derby. He ran third and garnered enough points to run. And I think one of the more interesting stories is moving forward is how Flavian Pratt, the jockey, actually got the mount. I'll try not to bore you with all the details, but
I know who the mount was supposed to have been.
yeah, he was supposed to ride Omaha Beach.
Yeah,
originally
right.
he was Omaha Beach's original jockey.
Right.
They chose to ride another horse at another point, so they lost that mount to Now it's down to Mike Smith. He has two choices for the Derby, Roadster, Omaha Beach. He goes Omaha Beach. Had he chosen Roadster, Pratt would have been back on Omaha Beach. Smith chooses Omaha Beach, so now Pratt's really without a mount and really frustrated that he feels like he's given up potentially the Derby winner. And his agent saying to him, look, we have a couple of options. Who do you rather, you know, who do you want to ride? His mindset, like, I don't care. I already took off the Derby winner. They wind up getting on Country House, and at 65-1, after running second in the Derby, after a 22-minute objection, a disqualification, Pratt winds up in the Kentucky Derby winner's circle with the second biggest long shot in the history of the event. It's incredible.
It is incredible. Now, but at one point, wasn't Saez linked to Country House?
Going way back, I think he might have ridden him in his debut, but it's not like there was a decision to be made there. You know, Saez, he won the Florida Derby with Maximum Security. There's his Derby mount. In fact, I believe Joel Rosario rode, I think Country House has had a few jockeys. I don't have it right in front of me. But Rosario rode Country House in the Arkansas Derby 3 weeks ago. He went to ride Game Winner for Baffert, and that made sense. This horse was 60. I'm not. He shouldn't have been 65-1, but he was 65-1. It's insane.
Well, Bill Mott is like most trainers. He's not really enamored with having to run a horse 2 weeks later. In fact, when he was done, I guess he told everybody, he says, "Yeah, we're just going to go to the Belmont after this." Now he's got to run him. So, how difficult a task is it to train to at least train a horse in a certain way where they can give some sort of peak performance over a mile and 3/16?
I can't remember who it was. It was a trainer in the early 80s, and I don't want to be misquoted, but there was a trainer who won a Derby with a long shot. It might have been Goddard El Sol. And afterward, they're excited about the upset in the Derby, and they're like, oh, what about the Preakness next? What are we talking about? We're not good enough to win the Preakness. So with Mott, originally I think this would have been the typical, because that's the pattern now, right? You don't see a lot of Derby horses in the Preakness. They come back fresher for the Belmont, and I think that's what, and Country House looks like a Belmont horse, by the way. And while nobody's talking Triple Crown, and we're still caught up in the aftermath of the Derby, if Country House should win the Preakness, again, he looks like a Belmont horse. So I think there's an obligation, obviously, that Mott's going to feel, and why not? I'm sure everybody wants to go and take a shot and see how he bounces back 2 weeks from the Derby to the Preakness, and why not? He bounced back, rather nicely from the 3 weeks in between the Arkansas Derby and the Kentucky Derby.
Hey, why not? And the odd thing is Jason Service doesn't like running his horse in 2 weeks, and he's not going to. So he would have been put in that spot if he'd upheld it. So
this is so brutal. For Luis Saez and Gary and Mary West and Jason Service, I was with Jason in the walkover, and at the thought of, we were talking about his brother and winning with Smarty and maybe the family having a second Kentucky Derby trophy. He couldn't, he broke down and he got very emotional. And that's,
I remember what the Derby's all about.
That's what the walkover feels like. And your heart breaks for everything that it takes to get there and then to have it slip right through your fingers. I can't imagine the roller coaster, the highest of highs and lowest of lows in this sport. But like I said a few minutes ago, we're so fortunate that we didn't wake up Sunday morning talking about a horrible accident that could have happened at the top of the stretch.
Exactly right. And by the way, you handled that part really, really well. When you saw he broke down, you gave him a moment, then you went to the next one. That was really well done on your part. So
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Lafitte, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your valuable time and great insight.
Anytime, guys. Have a great one.
Lafitte Pinkai joining us. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.